Please be seated. When I prepare a sermon, well, there's no approach. There's a bunch of haphazard stuff that goes on. I don't recommend that. I've tried to get out of that, but it hasn't worked. I think I'll give up. But there does come a time when I actually write it out, type it out. And the first thing you have to do when you write or type is actually write or type. And so I have settled on doing this. The first thing I do is type the text, Matthew 10, 34 to 42. And then the next thing I do is write the occasion, 2017, Proper 8, Series A. Then for the most part, I stare at the screen or the piece of paper. I may stall, wander around, go on the internet, talk to a neighbor like Tim Dost. But eventually you have to write something else. So often what I do is imagine I'm actually going to speak. And that's what I did this time. And I start to say and type, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And then it hit me. That wouldn't be right. Not with this gospel lesson, not with this text, not with this Jesus. Because Jesus said, do not think I have come to bring peace upon the earth. So if nothing else, I'm going to get the beginning right. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, who said that he did not come to bring peace. Amen. Now, of course, I was on some kind of autopilot. You know, you write this, you write that, you say something nice at the beginning. And, of course, we're like that. That's just the way our minds work. For the most part, it's automatic and effortless. Good morning. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Did you turn that assignment in? It's coming. All right? That's just the way we seem to be wired. A lot of the time, we're on autopilot. It's automatic. And that's what I was on when I started to type this sermon. But when it comes to thinking about peace, desiring peace, bringing peace, that's more than a platitude. That seems to be what people want. People want the good things. Peace, joy, contentment, blessing. If you still get emails, occasionally you'll get one from a Christian that has, you know, not only his or her name, but also a reference to a Bible passage. Now, they vary, but I've never come across one that says Malachi 1 verses 2 and 3. That is, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. You never come across one that I've read, is one of Luther's favorite Bible passages, Psalm 116, verse 11. I said, in my dismay, all men are liars. We just don't do that. And that's not just because we don't do that, but because we all seem to want the good things, where there's peace and there's joy. Now, to illustrate this, I will go not to the church, but to Apollo 11. When I was growing up, when I was a child, I just loved space travel, and I was enthralled by the space program. And of course, the high point was Apollo 11, when the astronauts landed on the moon. Now, that was historically just, you know, one of the greatest voyages ever taken, and symbolically one of the most important events, you know, humankind has ever accomplished. And you could tell that. You could tell that by the care that, say, Neil Armstrong took in the first words he uttered as he stepped onto the moon. A small step for a man, a giant leap for mankind. And you could tell that because the descent stage on the lunar lander that remains there has a plaque. Maybe you remember it. I even got a little copy when I was a kid. It announces, here men from the planet Earth first a set foot upon the moon. Then it has the date, July 1969 AD. And then this message: we came in peace for all mankind. Now, of course, this was during the space race and the Cold War, and one of the signatures on this plaque was Richard Nixon, and so you might be a little cynical. But no, you know, that was chosen because it was lofty, it was noble, it was sublime, it was idealistic. That's what you do when you're doing something truly historic. That's what you do. Well, it's not just once in a lifetime. This is once in a millennium stuff. And you choose your words carefully. And those are the kinds of words that represent what most of humankind thinks is most noble. We came in peace for all mankind. Now, something more momentous, more significant, ultimately important happened when Jesus Christ walked the earth. That is of truly eternal significance. Its implications are forever and ever and cover all things visible and invisible. And so, if any occasion might have deserved a plaque, it would have been when Jesus Christ walked the earth. So what would that plaque have said? It might have said, "Here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Israel's Messiah, the Lord of the universe, first set foot upon the planet Earth." What date? AD 1. And what would have been the message? "I did not come to bring peace upon the earth." Those words are strange. Those words are difficult. Those words are jarring. And Jesus knew it. You can tell that Jesus knew it because he did not simply assert, "I have not come to bring peace upon the earth." No, he tells the disciples, "Do not think, do not imagine, do not suppose, do not assume I have come to bring peace upon the earth." He knew this was difficult, strange, jarring. But nevertheless, it was the truth, and he said it. Now, the fact that he did not bring peace upon the earth, but rather a sword, that when he came there was division and dissension, that in homes, sons and fathers would turn against each other, mothers and daughters, their enemies would be in your own household, that there would not be peace, but discord. This was not the purpose for which Jesus came, but this was going to be the result. Jesus knew that. Jesus was already experiencing it. And here Jesus is, if you remember, calling and sending out the disciples as apostles, telling them to go and do what he was doing, proclaiming that the reign of the heavens was at hand, giving them authority to cast out demons, to cleanse lepers, to heal diseases. But Jesus doesn't just call them to do this and send them out with that authority. No, he cautions them about what they would face. Yes, some would receive them, but others would not. They'd be beaten in their synagogues. They'd be dragged into court. They'd be brought to testify before the ruling authorities. There would be trouble. There would be pain. There would be persecution. It was going to happen to Jesus, and the disciple is not above the master, so Jesus was warning them, "You should expect this." That would be the result. Jesus came to announce and to establish the reign of God over all things. In a world in which there was sin and evil, darkness and misdeed, confusion and pain, violence and death, God was going to do something about it. God was going to do something forever and ever about it. And that's why he sent Jesus. It would be the end of the world. It would be the end of things as they are. For some, that was good news, and for others, that was bad news. And so some believed in Jesus and followed him, and others rejected him. And that was going to happen, Jesus' warning, to those he was sending out in his name and with his authority. Now what happened to Jesus? Just as he knew, there would be those who reject him, and so he was crucified. He died as the king of the Jews. He died with people taunting him because he claimed to be the Son of God. But God raised him from the dead. And so what Jesus was talking about to the disciples was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans. Let's stay here with God's chosen people. But when he rose from the dead, he told the disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations. And that's what they did. And that's what the people of God have been doing ever since. That's what Christ Church has been doing ever since, and that's why and how you are here. Because the purpose for which Christ originally came on earth has not yet been accomplished. But the message is, the reign of the heavens is at hand. The message is, repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep all that he has commanded. And the result sometimes still is trouble. So what Jesus said to his apostles, I, in the name of Jesus, say to you, do not think, do not suppose, do not imagine, do not assume that there will be peace on earth. There will be trouble. Maybe some of you already experienced it in your own lives. There will be trouble, confusion, pain, even persecution. Now, in case you need me to explain this to you, that is not good news. No, the good news is this. Everyone who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus endured in his message and his mission, and yes, he was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. And what God did to Jesus, he will do for all who believe in Jesus. That's what he will do for you. Because when Jesus first came in the world, yes, there would not be peace. But when Jesus comes back, there will be peace forevermore. In his name, under his rule, and for all of his followers. For you. So then, do not think there will be peace now. I'm not promising you personally trouble, but don't be surprised. Don't be caught unaware. But I promise you, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, who's coming back, there will be peace and joy and blessing and satisfaction and contentment and life and wholeness for all of you. All of you who call on Jesus as the Lord, all of you who trust in him and his promises, there will be peace for you. May God, through his Spirit, keep you in that promise and in his grace, now and always. Amen.